This is the Clinical Pharmacology Podcast with Nathan Tuescher, where I discuss clinical pharmacology and pharmacometrics topics from the perspective of drug development scientists. In today's podcast, I'm going to discuss a specific type of model that was first proposed in 2001 and has been developed over the past 20 years. This is the TMDD model. TMDD stands for Target-Mediated Drug Disposition. The basic concept of this model is that reversible binding of drug product to receptors can influence the clearance of a drug. I'll review the key principles and concepts in a TMDD model, describe characteristics of the model and how you can identify if you need to test this type of model, and then describe some mathematical approaches to modeling data that exhibit TMDD behavior. TMDD models have been primarily associated with biologic products rather than small molecules. This includes peptides, proteins, monoclonal antibodies, and more recently, bispecific antibody conjugates. These products are generally designed to interact with specific protein receptors produced by human cells. Products like antibodies are designed to bind tightly with their targets, while peptides and proteins might be designed to become bound by a specific receptor. This process of binding can be transient, meaning that the intact protein or antibody can be released from the binding site and start circulating again in the body. A recognition of this fact led to the introduction of the concept of target-mediated drug disposition. I've included a link to a tutorial article by Dua, Hawkins, and Vandergraaff in the show notes that describes much of this history in detail. Thus, to model the amount of drug in the body, we need to account for both the circulating drug levels and the drug that is bound to the target. And the binding process is one that has an equilibrium state, meaning with an equilibrium dissociation constant. The mathematical equations are in the tutorial article in the show notes, but for our discussion, what is important is that the drug product may exist in either the bound state or the free state in the body with respect to its interaction in the target. And when it is in the bound state, it's not going to be eliminated from the body, but it will be unavailable to move around the body. This reversible binding to the target leads to a nonlinearity and clearance of the drug from the body. Clearance is linear when the amount of drug eliminated is proportional to the concentration of the drug in the body. Linear clearance gives rise to concepts like half-life, meaning the concentration will decrease by 50% in one half-life. These concepts are only true when the clearance is linear. The nonlinearity arises because the clearance can change based on what is happening with the reversible binding to the target. When concentrations are well above the saturation point for the target, meaning all of the targets are bound with drug product, then clearance is only possible through the standard metabolic or filtration mechanisms. Thus, clearance appears linear when it is above the saturation point. However, when concentrations fall below the saturation point, then you have multiple things happening. There is the clearance mechanism through metabolic or filtration mechanisms, plus you have targets that are binding free drug also. This results in clearance that is faster than one would predict through metabolic or filtration mechanisms alone. I think the most important part of TMDD modeling is identifying the phenomenon with the data before even constructing a model. The telltale sign of TMDD is when the clearance changes during the elimination phase. There's a fantastic figure in an article by Pelletier and Gabrielson in the show notes that illustrates the PK profile for a TMDD. If you look at figure 1, you will see a PK profile following intravenous injection. What you see is what appears to be a constant clearance or log linear decline in the concentrations, followed by a change to faster elimination or a more steep decline. After that, you may possibly see clearance return to a different log-linear decline. This plot is a great theoretical display of what you would see in the perfect scenario. But in my experience with real data, the only part of this distinctive profile that I have seen is the first change from an apparent linear clearance to something faster. In the image, this would be the turn noted by the letter C. The other turn is likely below the limit of quantitation, and that's why you don't see it very well in most scenarios, especially with clinical data. So here's my recommendation for identifying if TMDD might occur in your molecule. First, is the molecule a peptide, protein, or antibody? If yes, TMDD is more likely. If no, TMDD is going to be very rare. Second, look at individual subject profiles and see if there is a convex turn in the PK curve during the elimination phase. Convex meaning the log linear decline speeds up and gets faster. If that happens, it is very likely that you have TMDD and you should definitely try a TMDD model. If you do not observe this, trying to fit a TMDD model to the data is unnecessary and, in my opinion, will lead to much pain and suffering because the fits will likely be challenging and highly variable. Fitting a TMDD model to data that does not exhibit this convex turn would be like fitting a three-compartment model to data that are clearly a one-compartment. It might work, but it's likely overparameterized. Now, you may wonder why TMDD is not observed with a drug that you strongly suspect should have TMDD. It could be because the saturation point is below the limit of detection. So TMDD might exist, but throughout the concentration range where you're measuring blood levels, the receptors are fully saturated. In fact, the solution for addressing TMDD in a clinical setting is to maintain drug levels well above the saturation point, so that predicted drug concentrations are more stable and you don't have steep drops in concentrations. When you have TMDD, the effect is that once the drug drops below the saturation point, you have a rapid decrease in concentration. That also means that your beneficial effects start dropping rapidly also, and the patient may experience a window where they have lack of benefit. Assuming chronic treatment, the best solution is to either dose higher or more frequently to avoid concentrations falling below this threshold, and thus you avoid the rapid drop in concentrations. There are many models that can be used for TMDD. I do not intend to cover all of them in this podcast. That's because some of the differences are very esoteric and required a detailed description with mathematical equations. But more importantly, some of these models are so complicated that they cannot be used in most normal scenarios. The full TMDD model describes three separate species: the drug or ligand, the target or receptor, and the complex of ligand bound with the target. This model is thought to be the most physiologically accurate model for TMDD. However, in practice, when all we have is ligand concentrations, it's nearly impossible to estimate all of the parameters required by the model. Yes, there are some approaches to make reasonable assumptions about the initial amounts of receptor and binding rates, but those are just assumptions that get baked into the model, and you get a set of parameters that are always dependent upon those assumptions being correct. And spoiler alert, assumptions are always wrong. The only thing to determine is how wrong those assumptions are, and does that amount of wrongness adversely impact the interpretation? So don't even try to fit the full TMDD model. It's probably not worth your time unless you're using simulated data or attempting to make some theoretical argument for an academic endeavor. There are three common approximation models that have also been used to model TMDD data. They are the quasi-equilibrium, quasi-steady state, and Michaelis-Menten models. Each of these approximations makes a reasonable assumption to reduce the number of parameters that need to be estimated, and then these assumptions can be verified after fitting the model to the data to determine if they're truly reasonable. The quasi-equilibrium model assumes that the equilibrium between the binding and dissociation of the complex of the ligand and the target has been achieved. This is assumed because it is estimated that these rates are much faster than other processes involved in the pharmacokinetics of the drug. You can find the equations for the model in the papers in the show notes. After fitting the data to the model, evaluate if the elimination rate constant is much slower than the dissociation rate constant for binding. If it is much slower, then the assumption is verified because equilibrium The assumption is equilibrium is happening faster than elimination. And so this could be a good approximation for your TMDD behavior that you're observing. The quasi-steady state model is very similar to the quasi-equilibrium model with one small difference. The assumption in the quasi-equilibrium model was that equilibrium occurs between the binding and dissociation of the complex. The quasi-steady state model assumes that the equilibrium occurs between the binding of the complex and dissociation plus elimination of the drug. This difference changes the meaning of the equilibrium constant, but has similar properties to the quasi-equilibrium model. And the model assumption can be verified in the same way by comparing the elimination rate constant to the dissociation rate constant. If the dissociation rate constant is much faster, then the assumption is reasonable and the model may accurately represent the TMDD behavior that you're seeing. The Michaelis-Menten model is a special case of the quasi-equilibrium and steady-state models. It uses the familiar enzyme kinetics Michaelis-Menten equation that includes a parameter for maximum velocity and another for the Km rate constant. This model works well when the concentration of the target is small relative to the drug concentration. While it is more difficult to test assumptions with this model, if you use very high concentrations of the drug and only see the TMDD behavior in later samples, this model is more efficient at minimizing successfully. In my experience, the Michaelis-Menten model is the most common model used for TMDD work. It's the simplest to fit, requires the least external data about binding rate constants and receptor amounts, and clinical doses are usually high enough that the TMDD behavior is only seen at the low doses or very late time points after dosing. One last model that I will describe is not really a TMDD approximation, but it may be useful. All TMDD models are doing is changing the clearance value as the concentration of drug in the circulation changes. Thus, it is a way of modeling a non-linear clearance process in a dynamic way. You can achieve the same thing by simply including two separate clearance processes in your model. Include a linear clearance just like you normally would for a standard PK model. Then add a non-linear clearance component. This clearance would remove a specific amount of drug per unit time, rather than an amount proportional to the concentration. At high concentrations, this nonlinear clearance becomes a negligible part of the total clearance mechanism because the linear clearance is very large. But at low concentrations, the nonlinear clearance starts to contribute to the elimination in a meaningful way. Let's use some numbers to describe it. Let's say that your nonlinear clearance is 100 nanograms per hour. And your linear clearance is 10 liters per hour. When the concentration is 10,000 nanograms per liter, the nonlinear clearance is 100 nanograms in 1 hour, while the linear clearance is 100,000 nanograms in that same hour. But when the concentration falls to 20 nanograms per liter, the nonlinear clearance is still 100 nanograms in 1 hour, while the linear clearance is 200 nanograms in that hour. Thus, at lower concentrations, the 20 nanograms per liter, 1/3 of total clearance is due to the nonlinear mechanism. In this sense, clearance gets faster as concentration falls. I have used this type of model to make my first attempt at data that might show TMDD. If this dual clearance model fits well, then I progress to a Michaelis-Menten model approach for more detailed estimates. I've never fit any of the other models, the quasi-equilibrium or quasi-steady state or full TMDD model, in real clinical practice. I've only done it as part of courses. All right, let's wrap up the podcast. I described what target-mediated drug disposition, or TMDD, is, and the basic physiologic processes that lead to the emergence of data that exhibit TMDD behavior. I shared my approach to reviewing concentration time data to identify the TMDD behavior of faster elimination as the concentrations fall with a convex bend in the PK profile. Then I reviewed the various modeling approaches from a full TMDD model to the approximations and even a crude multiple clearance model that you can use. I encourage you to review the papers linked in the show notes to get all the mathematical details for your work. I hope this information helps you understand TMDD modeling a bit better and can help you find the right time to use it in your upcoming work. For more information, please connect with me on LinkedIn, send me an email to nathan@tuchersolutions.com, or sign up for my newsletter at tuchersolutions.com/newsletter. The newsletter is a copy of the show notes sent to your email each time an episode is released. Also, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to the show. Thank you.